Now, there's an interesting relationship between the H2 norm and H2 fin norm. Indeed, we can regard H2 fin norm as induced H2 norm. And this is what should not be very surprising. If you recall, in a chapter 2, when we talk about the large single layer of matrix, or the induced 2 norm, is actually the larger single layer is actually the induced 2 norm, or induced clean. Is a norm induced by the Euclidean norm. So in this case, in a transfer matrix case, this is very similar. That is, the H-fin norm of a transfer matrix is actually can be regarded as the induced H2 norm. So to summarize, actually basically what we have is that suppose you have a transfer matrix which is stable, okay? Let's say G is a stable transfer matrix. Then we can actually define a multiplication operator as mg that it takes L2 to L2. And in fact, actually we can restrict that the function f is H2. Actually, every conclusion is true for any g, though. G is not necessarily to be a stable transfer function. It can be any L infinity function, so that everything is still true. And that's probably we're gonna start with, because in a H infinity case, it's just a special case. Okay, so actually all the conclusions is true for L infinity functions. Then we can see that the multiplication operator, and if you compute this norm, it's actually the ratio of the norm of output to norm GF over the over the input norm F2. Now, if G is a stable transfer function, then you can restrict F to be a H2 function. Then of course it becomes the induced H2 norm. Okay. In general, it could be an induced L2 norm. Okay. Now to prove that, we can easily show that, in fact, infinite norm is upper bound of the multiplication operator. That's fairly simple, because if you just take it from the definition, you can see that the GF2 norm is by definition is integral of that. And you can see that a G star G can be upper bounded by the infinite norm of G square and identity. So if you're using that, you can take that get an upper bound of that, and you can take that out of the integral. So you get the G infinite norm square and multiply the integration of f function, which is exactly the 2 norm. So right away, you see that infinite norm is upper bound. Now, to show that the infinite norm is actually the least upper bound, this is much more complicated. And what are we going to do is we're going to try to construct a function f that actually achieves, or actually actually close to the achieves the maximum. And this is what we're going to do. So what are we going to do? We're going to start with singular value decomposition of G. So assume that in the infinite norm is achieved at a certain frequency omega 0. Okay. Now, this of course is not necessarily always true. We're going to deal with the special case later when the norm is not achieved at finite frequency.